Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning back into The Art of Selling Wine. This is one more episode recorded at CTV 2023. And today I will talk about hydrogen fuel and bioethanol fuel concepts with Exact Robotics. And my guests are Vincent Rachet and Jean-Christophe Rousseau. Yeah, we had some major shifts since the last episodes. This podcast got some very exciting new sponsors. So let's talk a little bit about them. This podcast is made possible by Wine Plus. It's the biggest European community for wine professionals and also for private wine nerds. It's made possible also by Amorim Cork. They are the world's biggest supplier of cork. And by Aero. Aero is a German company that produces full harvest machines, and Aero recently merged with Ferron. So thanks to all of them. Thanks for supporting me with finances, and also thanks to supporting me with reach. And now please enjoy the episode.
I was walking around the fair today a lot, and also yesterday, and a big part of the innovation that takes place here is focusing the decarbonization of our industry. I think this is the big topic of the next 10 to 30 years that is going on. And today I invited Exact Robotics. It's an innovation hub. And I invited Dr. Vincent Rachet and Jean-Christophe Rousseau. They are general manager and product manager of the company. And we will talk about an autonomous hydrogen robotic system for vineyards. But please be so kind and introduce yourself a little bit, who you are, what's your professional background, and how you ended up at Trax Robotics.
Yeah, so thank you a lot for inviting us. So I'm Vincent Rachet. I joined Excel Industry and Exact Robotics some months ago now. And I'm coming from the aerospace industry, and the idea is to bring, let me say, some high-tech innovations to the agriculture business, and more especially the topic of today is a hydrogen concept for trucks for the wine. Yeah. So that's my background.
So it's the jet engine running there?
Not really, but but the main topics of decarbonization is the same one, and probably the solution will not be the same one, but the key point to understand what is the cycle life analysis of a product, what is the impact of the engine, but not only the usage are also key to understand how to decarbonize, because you can decarbonize the scope 1 and 2, but you can also decarbonize the scope 3, which is the emission of the CO2 during the life of your product. And if you are able to have a lighter system, if you are able to optimize what you need as a phyto product or something like that to use less, it is of course benefit in terms of the environment, but it is also benefit in terms of the CO2 emissions. And the lighter it is, the less energy you are spending to move things around the vineyard. So it's more or less the same concept we have to solve in the two cases.
And Jean-Christophe, where do you come from?
So I'm a product manager for within the Excel group, and I specialized on vineyards and orchard sprays. So I've been with the company for 20 years, so I have a long experience in that field. And so I will talk today on a project that we recently started in the company, so to on straddle tractors that we use in narrow vineyards in France, in Champagne or in Burgundy, develop with some partners an engine that will be that will work with bioethanol, bioethanol that we can produce from the distillation of the residues of the wine fermentation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. You talked about scope 1, 2, and 3 decarbonization, Vincent. What does this mean? I hear it for the first time.
It's the first time. So there is a quite precise definition. I'm not sure to be able to deliver exactly the right one. Basically, the scope 1 is what you have produced as a CO2 in terms of what you need to buy your machine. Typically, you need some steel, you need some tire, you need something like that. So scope 2 is the energy and basically the CO2 you are emitting during the manufacturing of your machine. If you need to solder things, if you need to heat things, if you need to paint and so on, it is a scope 2. And as a machine manufacturer, when you deliver the machine, scope 1 and 2 are fixed. The machine is living its life, and during the scope 3 is emitting CO2. And that's the key things we have also to deal with, because if you are able to propose a machine with a way to be used leading to less energy intensive needs, you are decreasing at the end the CO2.
So we are talking about the CO2 production that comes from producing the machine, and then we are talking about the CO2 emission actually that comes from running the machine.
Exactly.
Okay.
And running the machine means to put some energy into the machine, but also to use the machine in a quite reasonable way of working. If you are making your tractor to run around doing nothing, you will emit some CO2. So the idea is to valorize the energy you need most in terms of efficiency of the final application you need to have.
Which part of the scopes is actually the biggest decarbonization potential?
To what I understood, but perhaps Jean-Christophe will correct me, the scope 3 is clearly one of the big one today, I think.
Yeah.
65%.
It's more than that.
Even more.
Yeah,
than that.
The use of a machine represents between 80% and 90% of the total emissions that we generate. So the parts that consist in building the machine, etc., is very limited. So where we can have we can have an influence, it's on the use of the machines. And there are two ways we can do. There are two approaches. First approach is to work on the efficiency. For example, if you have an engine and you look at the efficiency of your engine, if you have a fan, how to improve, the efficiency of your fan.
So we talk about translating energy to force.
So that's the first way. And there is quite a potential in this area. And the other approach, it's what we are doing, what we are talking about today. It's to work with another source of energy. So like if we take the bioethanol, it's exactly this idea is instead of using fuel that is fossil energy, we are working with energy that we can regenerate.
Okay, so when I understood correctly what you do, you present two different ideas here at the fair for two different energy sources.
Exactly.
Which ones did you bring? Burnt charcoal?
No. No.
Thorium?
No.
So, what do you have?
So, we can start with the track, the H2 concept. So, the track H2 concept is based on hydrogen. So basically, the hydrogen by itself is a colorless energy. That means you can have hydrogen. Today, the hydrogen is mainly done from fossil energy by just cracking some hydrocarbon. The benefit of the hydrogen is that we know today how to generate some hydrogen based on totally carbon-free or system. Typically, you can.
Is it the blue and green hydrogen?
Yeah, the blue, the green, the gray, the white. And you can even have probably also in Germany, but in the east of France, we are starting to think about how to extract the hydrogen directly from the ground, because there is plenty of hydrogen into the ground, depending of the more or less like standard gases, like gases you can get from petroleum coal. Mm-hmm. the technical name, you can extract some hydrogen. So you have the white hydrogen, which has been produced over the years into the ground. You have hydrogen that you can produce thanks to the electricity. You have a kind of hydrolyzer. You are breaking the water molecule, getting the hydrogen and oxygen. And
it's the basic experiment that everybody does in chemistry class, right?
Yes.
And you blow up some gas.
Exactly. And basically, in that case, hydrogen is just a battery. Because it is not a primary energy. In that case, you are just coming from electricity to hydrogen. So big advantage is that you can store hydrogen, which is mainly a gas at room temperature, or even if you are increasing the pressure, it stays a gas for a while. And the question for the hydrogen is how you are able to produce the electricity, which is leading to the hydrogen.
So the scope three main question is the sourcing of the hydrogen, if I understand correctly.
In that case, in that particular case, when you are using hydrogen, the key point, if you want to decarbonize your running life, is to be sure that the hydrogen has been produced in, let me say, carbon less intensive or even carbon free intensive way.
So for example, if I think about burning oil for producing the energy to produce the hydrogen, this will increase the energy scope,
of course.
And if I do it with, I don't know, solar that is harvested during summer when we don't need so much energy, and I can redirect it to hydrogen sourcing, it would reduce the...
Exactly.
Okay. But you are not here to talk about the sourcing of hydrogen, but I think you talk about the usage of hydrogen in microwave robotic systems.
Sourcing is, meanwhile, a key issue. That means we are here, and it is the purpose of Excel Industry and of course of Exact and all the brands, Technoma and so on, to bring some solutions to the final user. The key point is that a solution is never a good solution if it is alone. So that's why we start by the question of the energy productions, or hydrogen production, or ethanol. We are here as a machine manufacturer. Our duty is to deliver machines that are able to be extremely low in terms of CO2 emission, and even close to zero. We need to have, let me say, a whole ecosystem in order to make that promise to be real.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a machine working with hydrogen, or a machine working with ethanol or whatever, and you do not have a green ethanol or green hydrogen, does that make sense?
You're fooling yourself a little bit.
Exactly.
I mean, we all deal with a fair amount of greenwashing in the industry. I mean, it's obvious we use resources to produce wine. We cannot go around this, but it's a big question of what will be the energy resources of the future. I listened to a very interesting podcast last year, and the guy in there said, a machine without fuel is a sculpture. So it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And we are obviously in a situation where we need to focus on getting alternative energy sources running. I mean, we all saw what happened during the beginning of the Ukraine wars, when the energy prices rose extremely. And I think our society for the first time really realized its vulnerability, and especially in the food production sector. This is not fun.
Exactly.
Like, it's no joke. If the machines don't work, we have a big problem. And I mean, we talk about wine now. Wine is kind of a luxury product, but I think the whole idea of opening up for more alternative fuel sources is very interesting. What do we have to know about hydrogen sourcing and about hydrogen use in the vineyards? And why do you put it in an autonomous system?
Yes. So the idea of that autonomous system is mainly to be used as a concept. Today, the product which is available that can be used by anybody is a diesel version of the truck, because it's an idea to have a new robot into the vineyard. We are not the only society providing such a robot, but we are doing that. And the idea is to use that robot to test the concept and to test the robustness of the full hydrogen system. You get the hydrogens, so it is question. You have the hydrogen into your vineyard. There is plenty of solutions today. Now we have the concept, and the idea is to test, as explained by Jean-Christophe, what is the yield, what is the robustness, because today the way you are using the hydrogens in the concept, the Trax H2, is by a fuel cell. So we are using the hydrogen to make electricity, and then the electricity is used to just run a compressor, and we can use either electric tooling or hydraulic tooling, and the same for, let me say, the engine that can be electric engine for the wheel or hydraulic one. We have to test that, and it is the purpose of that concept to show to people, okay, it's available. We, as Excel Industrie and Exatropics, we take the risk to choose that technology. There is alternative technology. We can also use some thermics engine by hydrogen also. The electric one is the most efficient in terms of yield. We start by this one, and we want to test what is the sensitivity of the fuel cells to the dust, to the vibration into the vineyard, to, let me say, the treatment, all the chemicals we are putting. What is the ability to the dealer network to give some spare part, to make things to be repaired, and so on. So that's the key idea, is to test the ecosystem and to say, okay, we are part of the game. We are putting onto the vineyard a system which is able to do the job. We have to test it. And it is the purpose of that concept today. And the robot part is not mandatory to do that.
Okay, so if I understood correctly, we have hydrogen as fuel source that then gets translated to electric energy, and then we have basically an electric tractor system running in the vineyard.
Not electric one. We can have the electric one or the hydraulic one with a converter. It depends of what. Well, there is two versions, and it depends of what the people are used to work with. Mm-hmm. Historically, people have got hydraulic tooling, and they are used to have hydraulic engine. So if you want to demonstrate something to the people, the best is to probably start with things that say no.
Yeah.
One innovation at a time, so that means the hydrogen. Of course, as explained by Jean-Christophe, the question of the global efficiency of the system are pushing to move from hydraulics to electrics. The yield of the engine is much better. The way to work with is a little bit different. So the idea is to make things available for, let me say, the final users, mm-hmm. and to make the final user, depending of his knowledge, his wish to move to very fast or a little bit slowly to new things, to decide.
I have a question to you now. as you saw, I'm living in a camping car and driving around with that. And before I had this one, I had a caravan that was pulled. And I looked into electric vehicles. And even though they can go very fast, they cannot pull much. Like they can pull as much as a gasoline engine that I had running. Is it the same topic when we talk about working in the vineyards, that we have this difference between petroleum burning engines and electric engines?
Well, if I take the bioethanol, it's something different, because in this case, we are just to replace, an engine that is that works with fuel, mm-hmm. and by an engine that works with bioethanol. And then the rest of the machine is exactly the same. So the transmission and everything will remain the same. So, but on the maybe Vincent is
well, we
better
can,
to turn
we can
to answer this question.
The question of pulling something is just a pure mechanical question. Is the way you are putting the weight onto your system. If you want to transmit some power from your engine to the wheel and from the wheel to the ground, you need to have a minimum mass onto the wheel.
Yeah.
If not, you are, running.
It's a matter of traction.
Exactly. So the question is to have, heavy enough machines to be able to, transmit to the ground the energy. If you are pulling something, you are putting let me say, the weight behind your engine. So if you want to pull a lot, you have to put a significant weight onto your engine to make it, let me say, to transmit. And if you have an electric car or electric truck, you have the battery, which is already weight. The balance in between the two one is not so obvious. And the question is absolutely key, because what is true for the weight is true for the energy. Today, when you have a car and when you have a truck and when you are dimensioning your engine, you are dimensioning your engine according to the maximum power you need. And you have generally a quite large engine, which is not used 100% of the time. So of course, the engine maker make optimization system, which are extremely narrow. For the hydrogen system, it is totally different. We can decrease the engine exactly to the mean power you need to work. The mean power is always, of course, lower than the maximum you need. Typically, you are running a standard way and your tool is a little bit gripped in something. So you need to have extra power, but you need that extra power for some seconds. So the idea of all those kind, it is also the reason it is on a robot, because the robot in terms of electronics and, let me say, computation is much more advanced. You have to balance the energy in a way to say, okay, I've got my fuel cell, I've got the request power, and I can manage that. The key point which has to be known is the fuel cells. Half of the energy you put in the fuel cells is transformed in heat. It is a big, let me say, a warning system. And in terms of response time, it is the same as the radiator. If you want to have a shower, generally you light on the radiator a while before you start your shower. It is exactly the same for the fuel cell. That means you are not able to anticipate an extra power need. So in order to be reactive and to decrease the global request of your system, you have some battery.
So the fuel cell fuels a battery, and the battery sources...
The fuel cell is feeding the engine, but you have a kind of condensator, can say that.
Kind of buffer?
Capacitor.
The battery scales up and down if needed.
Exactly. Okay. And that means your battery is up, you are directly feeding your engine because you need your fuel cell to deliver, and the way you need an extra power, you are using and pumping in the capacitor. Mm-hmm. When it's over, the capacitor is coming back thanks to the fuel cell, and you start again. And the big advantage is that if you need to have, typically in our case, we have 35 kilowatt of power available to work, which is quite comfortable in the narrow 1 yard you are considering, even with some slope and things like that, even working on the ground. What is sure is that it is the maximum power we need, but we don't need this power for a long time. The mean power which is requested is what we have calculated and what we have demonstrated on the field. 20 kilowatts is enough. So typically, the fuel cells we are using could do more, but we have dimensioned the whole system at 20, which is the most reasonable one, which may lead to have some low battery. And at the end, compared to a full electric system, we are saving, I don't remember exactly the figures, but it is 20, 30 or 40%, but it is a dozen of percent of weight compared to a fully electric system. And at the end, and it will answer your very first questions, the main idea is to have a robot able to balance very smartly its power, lowering the mass of the global system. And for sure, it is not a way to pull things, but we are putting all the tools behind. So the more you are working, the more you are sticking your robot into the vineyard, and that way you are just transforming the most efficiently as possible the energy you have in your hydrogen, which is stored in your hydrogen, into the work of your robot. That's the global strategy we have.
How many of those robot systems are already in use?
So The concept is not a product we want to be used largely because it is to test. We have no idea today, and it has to be very transparent. It is our duty to test it before to sell it. So today we have one robot which is running. We have a second one which is very close to start with a new season beginning of next year. One will be one is hydraulic. The second one will be fully electric one. And the idea is to test, and we are open, of course, to work with a winemaker to test into the field to show them how it works. There is a question of also of teaching, because you are not allowed to work with hydrogen, let me say, without any teaching. So we are providing all the necessary things, the hydrogen, the teaching, and demonstrating how it can work. So today we have two robots operating that way. It is for demonstrating and teaching people.
When I look at the machine, it's for the very small vineyard scale that is often used in France. I don't see it so much in, for example, Germany. I don't see it so much in Italy. It's a very typical thing in Bordeaux area and Champagne area. So is this a concept that is mainly targeting the French market, or do you also look at other wine producing systems?
So I can answer, and probably Jean-Christophe will complete afterwards. The idea of the concept is to, and it is the purpose of Exact Robotics, to demonstrate new technology and the ability of bringing some new technology into the globally ag business, and especially today into the vineyard. It is not a product, it is a concept. So the idea will be, if the concept is demonstrating the compatibility of hydrogen with the global ecosystem of the vineyard, to develop some new product, and the new product will be the answer of your question. Of course, we will have product which will be dedicated not only to the narrow thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to complete something, but yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, of course.
It's not a product to sell.
Yeah. So the tracks that exist today that is available for sales, it's really for narrow vineyards. But as Vincent said, it's a concept. So okay, we start in our vineyards because it's where we have already a machine that is ready for that. And in the future, as we can expand, of course, to other types of vineyards. Yeah.
I would also like to learn a bit more about the bioethanol concept, because it's the other energy source concept that you brought. And when I remember correctly, at your exhibition stand, you have a big infographic that's showing the wine or spirits production cycle, and where at the end you have the dried raisins, like what's left over, and it's possible to produce basically Gerber from it. So
and I think that's what you're not the best one.
That's kind of what you're proposing there, that the leftovers from the wine production, or maybe also from the spirits production, from other fruit, can be turned into alcohol that can be used as fuel source. I kind of like the idea. I don't know the mathematics behind it, but I'm sure that the energy, that the vineyard is not a self-sustaining fuel source. So is it more of an idea, or is it really a concept where you say, okay, build up an energy production cycle next to the wine production cycle in every vineyard?
Again, it's we go back to the source of the energy. So the idea is to use what is we could consider as a byproduct of the wine fermentation. So today this is used, for example, it was used for during the COVID pandemic,
disinfectant.
Yeah, disinfectant was coming from alcohol that could come from distillation of the grapes that we get out of the fermentation of the wine. So the idea, of course, is the circular economy. So we reuse the waste in the system. So of course, when we use the bioethanol, we produce carbon dioxide, but this is carbon dioxide that will then will be again used by the plants and that we will put in, into the system. So that's the basic idea. I'm not able to answer right now if, of course, the source, the quantity that is produced out of the wine fermentation is enough, you know, to feed all the machines that are on the field. But it is one at least it's an I think an important source. It's not a small source. It's quite an important source. So it's interesting to look into that. And again, also the idea is to not work alone. We need to work with, you know, other partners in the system, in the ecosystem, to check how we can well put that in place. So it's again, it's a concept. We just started with that. We work in partnership, in close partnership with engine people who are really specialized in optimizing, you know, the engine yield, depending on the source you have, whether it's fuel or in this case it's more like gasoline. We say essence, gasoline, you know, bioethanol. We can, you cannot use a fuel engine because you need an engine, you know, it's an explosion engine or yep. Sparkling engine we need. So it's more like a gasoline engine, but we need of course to optimize this this engine, how it works with the bioethanol. So we are doing that with some partners. So we work on this side to really optimize the efficiency of the engine, and then we work. We are starting also to make some contacts with some other partners in the ecosystem to you know, to well, we put in place something that could work for the users.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think for the user it will be easier to wrap his mind around the idea of switching to bioethanol because it's more similar to the kind of machinery they are used to. Yeah. It's like switching from a regular gasoline engine to a Tesla. Like, yeah. For some people, for the advanced minded, they will absolutely do it, and the rest of the population will need time to adapt to the idea of plugging your car into the energy grid. So I think it's a way that must be taken in different routes, also because you have the different demands, right?
Basically, it is, you know, you have a kind of cycle. It's why when we started discussions today, we start by the production of the energy. And to answer a little bit the question you ask about, is it in a kind of a vineyard, in a geographical approach of the vineyard, is there a kind of self-autonomy? And it is a very interesting question. Just, do you have an idea, 1 century ago, when people are working with horses, how many surfaces of the field are used to feed the horses?
It's a very biodynamic idea, actually.
Yes, it was around 15%. And that 15% is quite interesting because that means at that time, 15% of your surface of field are used to just get the energy for working in your field. The main difference as of today is that at that time, the capex, the investment you need to transform that 15% is just to buy a horse. Nowadays, the question of the self-autonomous cycle of energy is how much you need to buy to extract the energy. And it's a key question because at the end you can consider the nuclear energy, not the uranium one, but you have into an atom, you are not able to extract it. From, let me say, fission, you need to have a big nuclear plant. And the question is, I have not the answer, of course, and probably there is plenty of smart people thinking about that, but what is the right balance between the investment you need to extract the energy of your surface compare to the surface you have to consider to make an equilibrated system. And that's the question today. It was when you have to feed the horses. It is exactly the same question if you have to, let me say, to feed some crops to get some bioethanol. And it will be more or less the same question for the hydrogen. Does it make sense according to the investment, not in terms only on money, but also in terms of electrode, in terms of metal, in terms of raw materials, to extract the energy from the sun and through the water and through the to extract the energy from the sun, or to extract the energy from the sun with a photovoltaic system, from the sun with a chlorophyll system, or whatever else.
If you compare to the photosynthesis and to the way a horse uses the energy, we are very, very far from being or anywhere close to the energy efficiency of the natural system, right? Or can we somehow compare?
I think it's not so easy, and I'm not, let me say, risking myself to make the comparison, but I think the question is interesting. The question is interesting because there is a question. And typically, the hydrogen is an interesting thing because the density of the power of hydrogen energy compared to the mass is excellent. The density of energy compared to the volume is not good.
Yeah.
So if you are sensitive to the volume, if you are an aircraft, you have to push away the air in the cloud to go through, the question of the volume for you is key. If you are a robot, which is, or whatever, a machine which is moving at what we call a low Reynolds number, that means it's quite easy to enter into the flow of the air, the weight is a key question for the soil, for the energy you need to move your tractor, and finally the volume, perhaps is not the key question. So that question of what is the good energy is really depending on your application.
So we talk about energy density and availability, right?
Availability, density in terms of weight, density in terms of volume, which is not the same. And I would like to say the investment intensity of the energy, how much you need to invest, not only in terms of money, to get your energy.
Okay, so maybe we can agree on one thing. The horse is less maintenance. It's the easier system in some way. But until we find a way to attach big machinery to the horse, we might also have some advantage with robotics.
It's not so obvious, because if the horses were so beautiful a machine, we will show more horses into the field today.
I think there's a trend going back to that, actually. I've been to Austria and I see more and more sheep and horse combinations in the vineyard, but it's still a kind of a fringe thing that comes back. But we are talking about hydrogen robotics today.
Yes.
So the last, and for me, almost most interesting question. You have those two different systems, the hydrogen system and the bioethanol system that you are testing right now. Which results do you see? Which use cases are better for which system? And you two guys personally, what do you think the future will look like?
We are testing, and as of today, the first things we have discovered is the system on the hydrogen was designed for 12 hours of working, and now with the 9 kilograms of hydrogen we are onboarding, we are on the flat system, which is the reference for us, we are more than 20 hours of work. So basically what we discover is the system is much more efficient than what we have been thinking about. That means we can still optimize the system because we have plenty of room in terms of energy. That's the main result we get from that first year of usage. My second answer will be, at the end, there is not one solution fitting all the questions. And the good answer we are making some proposal, bioethanol, hydrogen. There is also other alternative. We are not able to test everything, but some of our colleagues or competitors are testing others. The good answer will be the answer that will fit the final ecosystem, which is not established today. And that's the main difference between a concept and a product. A product is a solution into an ecosystem, and finally, which is delivering to the final user what he needs according to what he have around him. Here we are testing technological concept, showing to the global ecosystem it's possible. It is possible to work with bioethanol. It is possible to work with hydrogen. Probably it will be possible to work with other energy. From your side, guys, what will be the energy you think you are able to produce the right price, the right location? And that's why I think the approach we had in Technoma, in Excel, and also in the global wine yard business is to say, okay, our duty is to put on the table or to put on the shelf a valuable technology, tested one, robust one, and there is a kind of break-even point where we need to know what will be the answer of the ecosystem, what will be first available, probably the bioethanol. I'm explaining something which is probably closer to be available. Probably hydrogen will took some more time. Mm-hmm. But perhaps if the hydrogen is an energy that will be used by more people, probably at the end, the way to produce the hydrogen will be probably more efficient than an energy which is used by less people. And that's why that's a question of the self-autonomy of a wine yard, for me, is a little bit biased. You have to take the question of what will be available at the wine yard in a network. People are making some pipe for, let me say, ducting the hydrogen, like we are ducting gas or gasoline. And this is a key question. One century ago, when again, I'm living into the past, when electricity arrived into the building, each building had an acetylene system to produce DC current. People discovered that making larger machine, typically the mains, have meant big turbine, and the larger the turbine, the more efficient it was. And finally, it makes sense from that time to have a grid. Finally, to produce more efficiently the electricity in a large amount and to distribute. The photovoltaic approach, and let me say the farming voltaic, is a little bit the opposite. So it makes sense. So just to say that there is not a single solution, but it is totally passionate questions to see what is the good answer to a very precise solution.
What I like a lot about your answer is I see where you're coming from, not the aerospace background, but the non-wine growing background. It's something that I also hold high for myself. I'm also, once I was new to the industry, I'm not part of a wine growing family, and I like the out of the box thinking approach. Now, you, as somebody who has 20 years of watching the wine industry.
So write yourself. No.
Let's go back from space to the vineyard now. What's your personal thoughts on this? Where do you see the future going?
Yeah, so on this project on bioethanol, we are at the very start also. But if we look at other industries, like car industry, this is something that already exists. So you can even put a kit, you know, on your engine to move from gasoline to ethanol. So yeah, this is something that is
it was used in Brazil in the 80s and stuff. My grandpa, he worked there, and he said the whole street was smelling like mojito.
Burning the
because they produce, you know, they can produce also today, they can produce at quite a low price, ethanol from sugarcane.
Yeah.
So they have a very an available source of bioethanol energy. So this is something that is really feasible, I would say, in a quite short term.
Yeah.
And
and also we can modify the existing systems. Yeah, we don't need to create a whole new.
You know what we did, what we show on our booth on this exhibition, we did that in a very short time. So we just modified an existing Strada tractor that we had with a classic engine, and we just replaced the engine by a new engine that can work with bioethanol. So okay, so it works, and so the tractor can we can drive the tractor, so no problem. It moves. It works. So now we will enter in a phase where we will do some tests, you know, on the field and you know with some users and to have their feedback and so, and you know get some more experience, and also we have to, as I explained before, it's important that we make contacts with the ecosystem. So we have already started with that. So in France, there are, you know, you have vineyards, not everywhere, but in the southern part of France, you have vineyards more or less in many places. So factories that can distillate, you know, vine residues, you can find, there is already a network, so to say.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this source of energy is easily available. So, okay, this is something that we have to, of course, that has to be organized a little bit, and we cannot do that. We are, you know, we produce machines, so we are machine manufacturers, so it's not our business, but our business is to put people, to find the right people, the right partners, and to let it work. So,
yeah. And then we also have the dirty secret of crisis distillation of wine that is going on at the time.
Yeah, that's another... I think that's another
issue.
We could not, you should not, I think, consider this as
reliable. I hope not, but I see it in more and more countries at the moment. Cool. I don't see the yield decreasing, I just see the amount of wine that is unsellable increasing at the time. So, we live in very demanding times, I think, and we are in an industry that has very hard focus on tradition and on things as they were done before. At the same time, we need innovation on all ends. And thanks to you. Thanks to you. It was very interesting to hear about the concept. So for the people who want to take a look at this, we're talking about Exact Robotics with EXXACT, Exact Robotics. And the concept we talked about today mainly was the TRAX, TRAXX. If people want to get in contact or reach out, which websites are important, LinkedIn accounts, anything, how is it best?
I think there is both a website. We have a website for Exact Robotics, which is exactrobotics.com, and the same, I believe, for
TikTok. Yeah, there is a website. It's Technoma, which is the name of the brand under which these Strada tractors are sold. So Technoma, it's TECNOMA, and you will find some information.
Yes, so Exact Robotics and Technoma, this is where you get more information.
Yeah.
Vincent, Jean-Christophe, thanks. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
And I hope you have a good fair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.